news of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show.
I'll tell you, one of the more despicable things I've seen today, Alex Jones, who never been a fan of, I've met him a couple of times, actually had a lucid conversation with him once, about 20 minutes, seemed like a decent guy at that moment, and then, you know, seconds later, went from zero to crazy in the blink of an eye. But regardless, one of the more despicable things I've seen, he and his lawyers are now in this defamation trial, demanding that all of the people who have brought claims against them publish their home address and their birth dates. Now, they're claiming this is Texas law and it has to be this way. I got to tell you, I'm really uneasy with the lunatics and the kooks that follow him putting anyone's name and phone number and information out for these people to have any access to. And if these folks are forced to do it, I think anything that happens to them should come back on Jones, and he should be the one going to jail. Just my thought. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world and in Washington, D.C. I got Doug Christians, Talk Media News. Doug, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
So what do you think of this? Do you think that these folks should have to put their, even it is the law that they have to publish their, at least put their address and their birth date. Do you think they should have to?
I feel that Alex Jones is playing the media to a T, and that he is trying everything he can to embarrass whose lives he has hurt so much, and doing it every way he humanly can. And everything that he does should be seen with a jaded eye. He's just about selling fake drugs. That's what he really does, is sell fake drugs and use crazy conspiracy theories to get the craziest of the crazy to come on board with him.
I mean, the thing that gets me is this guy's got a history of doing this stuff, of publishing people's home addresses and their phone numbers and all of this stuff, so that, you know, the minions will go and harass them. And, you know, you listen to some of the stories of these people whose children were murdered for no other reason than going to school. And to have someone like Jones say they're all crisis actors and it was a false flag and all of this stuff. And then to sig his minions on them, you know, harassing them on the phone and, you know, doxing their computers and all the stuff that goes on that these people do. And it's just, it's despicable.
It is. It's terrible. And there are people, especially the Sandy Hook families, they've had to move several times because Jones has made false allegations against them. Just to support, again, as I said, his sales of fake pharmaceuticals, because he's been making millions off of that. Oh. And he's a fraud through and through. Barnum would know exactly this kind of man. He's a circus barker. I mean, like you, I've met him. I interviewed him. I got him on. He's actually a very engaging person. Yep. In person, and funny too. But he has no mercy. He'll do anything to build an audience. And I believe it's just cynical. I think he's doing it. He knows very well what's going to get ratings, what's going to bring it up.
No, I'm right there with you. I said that, you know, I had talked to him a couple of times. I used to go to these talkers conventions. And, you know, he was the keynote speaker, and we were, you know, like kind of in the same area, and we were talking for like 20 minutes over a drink back and forth. And you're right, you know, funny, engaging. You know, we had a good conversation about the industry, about, you know, sports, about, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then he took the stage, and he went from zero to absolutely bat you know what crazy in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, it's surprising. I mean, actually, I was surprisingly engaged. I mean, I found it, it told me something about the kind of personality he is. He's almost, sociopathic, because he's absolutely able to be sane and very, and just there with you. And very funny. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And engaging and all that is just, I don't know which part of it is a show, but one of it is a show.
Yeah, or all of it. So are you which side of the YouTube kicking him off, and I guess Twitter and Facebook and a bunch of people have kicked his pages and his stuff, his content off. Which side do you fall on that?
Well, I mean, do you yell, you know, fire in a crowded theater? I mean, the stuff is ridiculous. I mean, it's one thing to generate ratings. It's another thing to say things. I do believe, and I can't say I know, but I believe that he's saying things he knows to be false, and he's doing it in order to grab ratings again so he can sell his fake drugs. And, I mean, YouTube's got to set standards. I mean, if you or I did something similar to that, we would get kicked off far before this,
right,
on YouTube. So I do think that he had it coming to him.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, because I have a bunch of people go, well, freedom of speech. And I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. You have freedom of speech between you and your government, not between you and a private corporation or you and me. You don't have free speech rights in my household. You're standing on the street corner, and that's between you and your government. They want to stop you. But in my house, nope, you're out. Same thing with private industry. It's not a free speech issue. So stop with that.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just surprised it's taken so long. And I think it may be the same kind of impulse that has scared congressmen, lawmakers, from talking up about Donald Trump. They think, oh, Alex Jones, he's got this enormous population. I don't want to, of followers, I don't want to piss them off.
And they're crazy.
But you know what? You know, I mean, seriously, you know, it's about time to
use a Sarah Palin line. Man up.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and you know, as FDR said, I welcome the opposition. Well, come on, welcome it. Put it right on. Fight back. And of course, there's only if GOP lawmakers retiring will they actually speak their mind.
Yeah.
They won't do it. My theory about Paul Ryan changing the subject a bit is that Paul Ryan, the reason he doesn't have a spine is because, like Eric Cantor, who left earlier, who's then taken a huge job as a lobbyist.
Well, he didn't leave earlier. He got defeated. There's a difference between voluntarily leaving and getting your hat handed to you.
Yes, he got it primaried by a Tea Partier. But the thing is that he then, you know, turned around and got a pretty cushy job as a lobbyist. And I think that Paul Ryan hasn't announced what firm he's going to, but he sees a huge salary coming, and he doesn't want to risk that enormous salary that he could get by speaking up what he really feels about the president.
No, you're spot on.
I mean, it's a theory, but if you see him get that cushy job right as he retires, because this one he is voluntarily retiring from, as he knows that the House will be flipped over to the Democrats in November. He will make 20 times as much money, like literally, and B, he will not be a minority House member.
Well, and I thought he was going to lose anyway. Look, I mean, you've got Iron Stash out there who, you know, has a huge following. Even Kathy Myers, who's the other Democrat, has, you know, a pretty good following. So there was a possibility he was going to get his hat handed to him in November anyway. But that's a whole nother thing. And let's talk about hats handed to them. Ohio 12th last night. The Republicans, you know, while they held the seat, not by much.
Not by much at all. In fact, you could only say the Republicans got that because they were willing to spend anywhere from $3.5 to $5 million to protect a seat that should have just been handed to them. The Republicans have held that seat for over 30 years. Donald Trump had won that district by 11 points. There wasn't even an issue until Donald Trump's antics came into play. Until it was pretty clear that Republicans were not going to hold this as easily as they thought.
But if you look at his Twitter feed, man, he's the one who saved it. He came in and saved the day, you know, like a superhero. an orange superhero, claiming. But still a superhero.
That's what he's claiming. That's what he's claiming. And, I mean, I think that most analysts looking at this say, wow, this is doesn't bode well for Republicans. Because if you're losing, I mean, if you only win by a half a percentage point in this strong Republican, this part, kind of a Republican stronghold, this is the wealthiest district in all of Ohio.
Yep.
This is a district with an average income of per medium income about $90,000. I mean, the Republicans could have gone for tax cuts, protection of wealthy, wealth for the wealthy, all these things. Instead, they went for cultural divisive issues, Daniel O'Connor was a Nancy Pelosi-loving Democrat, and kind of like Connor Lamb, he is not a Nancy Pelosi-loving Democrat. And in fact, he's kind of playing the Connor Lamb playbook,
yeah.
Trying to kind of balance it a little bit. And I think that they're calling them Dannycrats, those who are former Republicans that are voting for Danny O'Connor. I think they have a very high likelihood that they're going to vote for him in November.
Well, let's hope so, because, you know, at the end of this, it still is about taking back the House and adding some balance to our government, and we desperately need it. Let's move on. Speaking of Congress, another seat might be up for grabs come November. Congressman Chris Collins arrested today on insider trading. Thoughts?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it was the FBI has been doing research on this for quite a while, and it now finally came out. I mean, they have videotape of him actually doing his nefarious business. Of course, Chris Collins came up with a totally innovative term to describe the investigation into insider trading. You've never heard this term before. Nobody has.
I can't wait.
They call it a witch hunt.
Oh,
wow.
Witch hunt.
Wow. A witch hunt. We've never heard that term in these politics these days.
Wow. I'm going to have to check with our resident witch
who
categorically denies that witches are looking for Donald Trump. Categorically denies any support of the Trump administration. I'm going to have to see if the witches are hunting down Mr. Collins and his insider trading. What's interesting to me, though, is, you know, they've got all these text messages, they've got the paper trail and a video of him doing it, and yet,
yeah.
I guess in this era of fake news and of witch hunts, I guess you can just deny.
Right. Well, we can also thank Representative Louise, the late Representative Louise Slaughter, who actually filed ethics charges against Collins last June. With the Office of Congressional Ethics about insider trading. So she is smiling from her grave.
Yeah.
Saying, ha, you see?
Good luck in prison.
What happens.
Good luck in prison. Look, we can drain the swamp right into the prison. I'm okay with that. And speaking of tapes, have you seen this story about this Amoroso who evidently she's got tapes of her and Donald too, according to Michael Cohen?
That is funny, and that is so funny. I mean, all I can say, but, you know, it's not like she's a pure player in this. I mean, she was the one who bragged. She said people are going to have to learn how to bow to Donald Trump as though he's a god or something. And so, I mean,
yeah,
she was kind of blinded by his celebrity, as so many people have been. I don't know what the magic formula is that or what the Kool-Aid is that he feeds his followers that feel this way, but something probably just hearing him speak unfiltered and his overt misogynistic behavior, his racism, his ignorance.
Yeah.
All combined, I mean, it's pretty shocking, really.
Yeah. And finally, our quote of the day. It was probably one of the best lines of the day. DNC Vice Chairman Michael Blake evidently was on Fox News, and the other guest asked him, well, you know, who are you as a party? You know, because a couple of the quote-unquote socialists or democratic socialists lost last night. I think the line was perfect. He said, we're the party not going to jail.
So, oh, my God. And speaking of jail, there's a difference between jail and prison. Jail is where you go before you are found guilty. And there's one notable person who is now residing in jail in Alexandria, Virginia, where I am right now as we speak. And that is none other than the honorable Paul Manafort in his seventh day of trial.
Does he have his $15,000 ostrich jacket and his $1,500 satin pants? And you know, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this list of his you know, the purchases that he's made, and I'm going, you know, outside of the, you know, the image of being this mob tough guy, you know, he kind of, you know, and I don't want to be, you know, stereotypical of the gays, but you know, kind of sounds a little like he could be walking in the gay pride parade.
Well, I've often thought about, people might think I'm weird for saying this, but I've often thought Donald Trump, with his lispy way that he can sometimes be, is seems like he could be secretly gay. Now, I know that
nothing wrong with it. You be who you are. Be yourself. Or as my daughter reminds me, you got to live your truth. But I just find the different, the differences, vast. On one hand, you're playing the tough guy, and the other one, you know, prancing around in satin panties.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, both of them have this kind of attitude. They don't know what taste is. They're the furthest from it. And so they kind of behave as though, you know, people who don't have any taste think this is how people with taste behave. This is how people without any money or experience knowing people with money think this is how rich people behave. Both of which are absolutely false. I mean, you know, people who have grown up comfortably in wealth, you know, think pretty carefully about spending money. No. Many of them don't drive the fanciest cars. Many of them just buy off-the-rack suits and stuff just because they find it ostentatious.
$15,000 ostrich jacket. And I gotta tell you, I looked at it and I'm going, it looks like a cheap knockoff. It looks like something that you'd have bought on the, you know, on the Goodwill rack.
Right. I mean, it's a very, very strange thing. I mean, you know, and nowadays, you can think the military for this is figuring out how to kind of standardize clothing sizes. So you can buy suits that are pretty close before they need tailoring.
Yeah.
And they're pretty, you know, they're pretty darn right on. And so, I mean, somebody to spend this kind of money on clothing in general, you have to kind of wonder about where their priorities are.
And it's no wonder he was broke and trying to cheat the government out of taxes. And no wonder he's in the problem he's in.
Exactly. This is a problem he created. And, of course, he got involved with Yanukovych in Ukraine, who was an absolute criminal, a thief who, like Donald Trump, not unlike Donald Trump, had a gold toilet made for himself, and of course was thrown out by the population in Ukraine, and had to run away to his daddy, Vladimir Putin. And of course, we're still trying to figure out, what did Donald Trump say in private to Vladimir Putin, his boss, and that something that he wouldn't talk in front of any of his administration or his aides about. What was that secret? Was he telling his daddy that he would do whatever he wanted? Was he telling him? Was he asking if he had been if the trade that they had made for Vlad's help in the 2016 election, if Trump was paying adequately,
No, we may never know. It may be like, you know, how many licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. But at the end of it, I'm hoping come November we wash out, throw the bums out, we get somebody in to hold Trump accountable, we hold hearings, we have subpoena power, and we rein back in the insanity. To me, just that simple. But, Doug, I appreciate the thoughts, the times. Good luck in Alexandria. I look forward to talking to you again as the Manafort trial continues down the road.
Awesome.
Good stuff. Our good friend Doug Christians. Talk media news. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Radio of, for, and by We the Working People. The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1994. President Bill Clinton posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Latino farm worker organizer Cesar Chavez. It is the highest honor granted to civilians. His widow, Helen, accepted the honor on his behalf. Chavez founded the United Farm Workers Union. He dedicated his life to organizing agricultural workers in California. Too often, agricultural workers have not received enough attention from labor leaders, despite their struggles to win better wages and improved conditions for themselves and their families. Chavez was one of the most important Latino labor organizers in U.S. history. In 1968, he helped lead a successful national boycott against California grape growers. The boycott won increased wages for those workers and demonstrated the power of the boycott in farm labor organizing. The medal ceremony was held in the East Room of the White House. United Farm Workers leaders attended the ceremony, including Dolores Huerta, the farm union's co-founder and first vice president. President Clinton's remarks in granting the medal captured the impact and sacrifice of this labor activist. President Clinton said, "The farm workers who labored in the fields and yearned for self-respect and self-sufficiency pinned their hopes on this remarkable man, who with faith and discipline, with soft-spoken humility and amazing inner strength, led a very courageous life, and in doing so, brought dignity to the lives of so many others, and provided for us an inspiration for the rest of our nation's history." In his life, Cesar Chavez never made more than $5,000 a year. And yet, the richness of his life and legacy left a lasting imprint on the cause of labor. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith. Not the fire.